بسم الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله جل وعلا، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أي نعم. We continue إن شاء الله تعالى with the program in Arlington. Takes us with the brothers from Tazkiya al-Islamiyya, which they have a website, and we mention again is www.tazkiya.org, inshallah ta'ala, for the benefit. The topic of this talk today, inshallah ta'ala, is from a lecture by the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. So what I'm doing here is a translation of the Shaykh, as I did with the previous talks. We translate the statements of the people of knowledge. And the title is دور المرأة في إصلاح المجتمع, the role that the woman has and should play in rectifying the society. And no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and commanded us to worship Him alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the messenger and the book, and therefore there is an obligation upon us, male and female, in rectifying and bringing about happiness and joy and correctness to this society. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, our Shaykh Salih al-Uthaymeen, one of the main scholars of these days, he died a couple years ago, rahmatullahi alayhi, after he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he seeks refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and from the deeds of our actions. He said, whoever that Allah guide, no one can misguide him. And whoever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguide, no one can guide him. And he bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone with no partners. And that Muhammad is his servant and messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with the guidance and with the deen of the haqq, of the truth. And therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he conveyed the message, and he related the trust that he been entrusted with it, and he gave advices to the ummah, and he fought for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the right way. May the salawat and the salam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, his family members, his companions, and all those who follow them with good. Ameen. Then the Shaykh said, فَإِنَّهُ يَسُرُّنِي أَنْ أَحْضُرَ لِأُعَبِّرَ عَمَّا فِي نَفْسِي فِي هَذَا الْمُوضُوعِ الْخَطِيرِ. He said, it is with a great joy to appear and to talk to you about that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled me to say pertaining to this mawdu', this subject which is of extreme danger. وَهُوَ دَوْرُ الْمَرْأَةِ فِي إِصْلَاحِ الْمُجْتَمَعِ, which is the role of the woman in rectifying the society. فَأَقُولُ مُسْتَعِينُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ طَالِبًا مِنْهُ التَّوْفِيقَ لِلصَّوَابِ وَالسَّدَادِ. So the Shaykh said, I will say, seeking help with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him to guide me to that which is successful and to that which is correct and to the target. إِنَّ دَوْرَ الْمَرْأَةِ فِي إِصْلَاحِ الْمُجْتَمَعِ دَوْرٌ لَهُ أَهَمِّيَتُهُ الْكُبْرَى. Verily the role that the woman plays in the society is a role that has a great importance. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ إِصْلَاحَ الْمُجْتَمَعِ يَكُونُ عَلَى نَوْعَيْنِ. He said that because rectifying the society take two forms. The first form, الْإِصْلَاحُ الظَّاهِرُ, the rectification that is open, we see it openly. وَهَوَ الَّذِي يَكُونُ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. And it is that rectification that takes place in the marketplaces, وَفِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, in the masajid, وفي غيرها من الأمور الظاهرة. And in all other places and situations that we see action being manifested openly. وهذا يغلب فيه جانب الرجال لأنهم هم أهل البروز والظهور. In pertaining to this issue and to rectify the society outwardly in the open, this is something that is more likely to be the responsibility of men, because they are the one actually that are being commanded to go and to the land and outside. They spend more time outside. النوع الثاني إصلاح المجتمع فيما وراء الجدر. He said the second type of rectification is rectifying the society from behind doors and walls. طيب, meaning inside, the opposite of the other one. وهو الذي يكون في البيوت. He said this is that which happened and took place in houses. وغالب مهمته موكول إلى النساء. He said and the majority of this responsibility is upon the shoulders of women. لأن المرأة هي ربة البيت. Because the woman, she spends more time in the house, and she's responsible about the house. كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى موجها الخطاب والأمر إلى نساء النبي في قوله وقرن في بيوتكن ولا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية وأقمنا الصلاة وآتينا الزكاة وأطعنا الله ورسوله إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. الأحزاب 33. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab in the ayah 33, pertaining and giving a command to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and remain and stay in your houses, and do not display the jahiliyyah and your adornment and your body and your beauty the way and the like used to be done in the times of ignorance, and stay and establish the salah, and pay the zakat, and obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verily that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want with that is that to keep the rizq, to keep all kind of type of evil away from you, O Ahlul Bayt, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify you with that. And then the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, أَهَمِّيَّةُ دَوْرِ الْمَرْأَ فِي إِصْلَاحِ الْمُجْتَمَعِ. The importance of the role of the woman in rectifying the society. نظن بعد ذلك أنه لا دير علينا إن قلنا إن إصلاح نصف المجتمع أو أكثر يكون منوطا بالمرأة. He said, the Shaykh said, and we can say, inshaAllah ta'ala, and with no problems, that at least rectifying the half of the society, the responsibility at least half of it, falls into the shoulders of the women. وَذَلِكَ لِأَسْبَابٍ. He said, because of so many reasons. السَّبَبُ الْأَوَّلِ, the first reason why the Shaykh made his statement, أَنَّ النِّسَاءَ كَالرِّجَالِ عَدَدًا. Because the women, the number of the women on earth is similar to the one of men. إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَكْثَرٍ. He said, maybe they even surpass the number of men. It may be that there is more women on earth than men. أعني أن ذرية آدم أكثرهم من النساء. The Shaykh said, he means that the majority of the offspring of Adam, they are from women. كما دلت على ذلك السنة النبوية, and there is a proof from that from the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولكنها تختلف من بلد إلى بلد ومن زمن إلى زمن. He said, but this nisbah, this percentage of women, they may be more than men. It differs from a place to a place, country to country, and from time to time. فقد تكون النساء في بلد ما أكثر من الرجال وقد يكون العكس في بلد آخر. He said, probably it may be in one country you may find in the statistics that there is more women than men. And it may be the opposite in another country, more men than women. كما أن النساء قد يكون أكثر من الرجال في زمن والعكس في زمن آخر. But likewise, in a given time, you find that the women, they outnumber the men, but in another given time, it be the opposite. وعلى كل حال فإن للمرأة دورا كبيرا في إصلاح المجتمع. He said, in any way, the woman has a great and a big and a huge role that she has to play in rectifying the society. السبب الثاني, the second cause, أن نشأة الأجيال أول ما تنشأ إنما تكون في أحضان النساء. Why the woman has to play that great role in rectifying the society? He said, because the generations, those generations, the first time or the first time that they spend it where? With the mothers, with women, babies. They spend time first with their mothers, with the women. وبه يتبين أهم يتبين أهمية ما يجب على المرأة بإصلاح المجتمع. Since being the case, therefore this is another point that shows the importance and the greatness of the responsibility that falls onto the women in rectifying the society. And then the Sheikh, he said, he brings what is مقومات إصلاح المرأة في المجتمع. He said, now this woman that she knows now, until this point, the women, our women, they should know the responsibility that is upon them in trying to play their role to rectify the society. But these women, do they know what is the qualification? What it takes to do that job and to fulfill their responsibility in the right way so they can be a factor of benefit to the society and not the other way? So the Sheikh said, لكي تتحقق أهمية المرأة في إصلاح المجتمع لا بد للمرأة من مؤهلات أو مقومات لتقوم بمهمتها في الإصلاح. He said, for the woman to fulfill this obligation and this right upon her and to participate in the rectification of the society, she has to possess certain qualification and certain characteristics and criterions that will enable her and help her to execute and to act and to do her responsibility in the right way, so she can bring about rectification. وَإِلَيْكُمْ جَانِبًا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْمُقَوِّمَاتِ. And the Shaykh said, and here for you, inshaAllah ta'ala, some of those qualifications and some of those tools that the woman should have, if she wants to do her job in the best way, in the correct way. The first one, صلاح المرأة, that the woman has to be righteous. She has to be upright. أن تكون المرأة نفسها صالحة. He said that the woman in herself, she has to be righteous. If she wanna participate in making a righteous society, she has to be righteous first. لتكون أسوة حسنة وقدوة طيبة لبنات جنسها. So if she is righteous, so she's gonna set the good example for another women and for the girls from her side. ولكن كيف تصل المرأة إلى الصلاة? And then the Shaykh asked this question. He don't want us to answer because alhamdulillah he did answer that question. He said, ولكن كيف تصل المرأة إلى هذا الصلاة? But how a woman reach and gain this righteousness? How a woman gain and reach this righteousness? لتعلم كل امرأة أنها لن تصلح إلى الصلاح إلا بالعلم. So the first thing that all women, they should know with no doubt that there is no way to righteousness except with knowledge. Except through knowledge. That which will make a woman righteous, inshaAllah ta'ala, the first thing is knowledge. قال الشيخ وما أعنيه هو العلم الشرعي. He said, that which the Shaykh talks about and means by knowledge is not any knowledge, like women may think, yeah, let's get a degree from Oxford or from GT or whatever. Nah. He said, that which he means with is the knowledge of the legislation of the Deen of Islam. And when it was said GT, not Germantown, Philadelphia, like Georgetown University. I want the brothers from GT, Germantown, Philadelphia, hear this and say, ain't no knowledge in here. طيب, they may get mad or something. So we say Georgetown, University in DC, inshallah ta'ala. So, but rather that which the Shaykh meant with this is, because things happen. Don't like look at me like that. Things do happen. Because I said not the knowledge in GT, the brother may say, well, what's going on with GT? We're teaching the Sunnah and the book. You got some problem with us? Germantown, Georgetown, not Germantown. طيب Georgetown. طيب. Like the president George. So he said the Shaykh that which rather he means is the knowledge of the legislation of this deen. Huh? إما من بطون الكتب إن أمكنها ذلك وإما من أفواه العلماء سواء كان هؤلاء العلماء من الرجال أو النساء. Whether she may learn from the books, موثوق, or she may learn from the scholars, from she take the knowledge from the tongue of the people of knowledge, whether they may be from women or from men. قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وفي عصرنا هذا يسهل كثيرا أن تتلقى المرأة العلم من أفواه العلماء وذلك بواسطة الأشرطة المسجلة. He said, and these days, والحمد لله, from the ni'mah of Allah upon us, that is easy. It is being made easy for the women to learn the knowledge from the mouth of the scholars. Through what? Through listening to their tapes. فإن هذه الأشرطة والحمد لها دور كبير في توجيه المجتمع إلى ما فيه الخير والصلاح إذا استعملت في ذلك. He said, because these tapes in general and all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has and plays a great role in directing the society in that which is there is good and rectification righteousness for it, with the condition if those tapes are used for good causes. If those tapes are used for good causes. إذن فلا بد لصلاح المرأة من العلم لأنه لا صلاح إلا بالعلم. It's very important here, this statement of the Shaykh. He says, so therefore, it is a must and incumbent upon the woman to learn and to get knowledge, because there is no righteousness with no knowledge. There is no righteousness. A woman cannot be righteous if she is ignorant. A woman cannot gain righteousness and salah بغير علم, without knowledge, not the knowledge from the universities of secular knowledge, rather that what the Shaykh means, the knowledge of shar'i, of the legislation, of the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. المقوم الثاني, the second characteristics and qualification, البيان والفصاحة. That a woman, she should have some eloquency in speech, and she should be clear when she speak, and when she express herself, she has to have some commands of the lugha and the language, and she has to be clear so the people can be able to understand her. أي أن يمن الله عليها أي على المرأة بالبيان والفصاحة. He said that maybe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her that gift, because not everybody can be eloquent, not everybody can be fasih and clear and have the ability to explain clearly the issues to the people. He said this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant our women this qualification and this quality. بحيث يكون عندها طلاقة لسان وتعبير بيان تعبر به ما في ضميرها تعبيرا صادقا. So if she wants to express herself or explain something, she will do it inshaAllah ta'ala in the best of way and being truthful in the same time. He said, why? Because sometimes she may want to teach other women, or she may like deal with the situation with other women, and she may have ideas within her, but if she don't have this bayan and this fasaha, she may try to say something, and she say something else. And then she may like, that's not what I meant. Do you feel me? That's not what I mean. That's what we hear all the time. You feel me? No, I ain't nobody gonna feel you like that. But if you say, make it clear, they don't need to feel you. They just have to listen. That's it. InshaAllah ta'ala, you don't want nobody feeling nobody. That's why we need to speak clearly, right? Speak clearly, inshaAllah, and we don't need to feel nobody, inshaAllah. قال وبناء على ذلك نسأل. He said, based on this, we ask this question again. ما الذي يوصل إلى هذا؟ What make a woman get to this level, inshaAllah? أي يوصل إلى البيان والفصاحة والتعبير. What are the means and the ways that get the women to reach this level of eloquency and to be clear, and other women be able to understand her. Huh? نقول الطريق إلى ذلك هو أن يكون عند المرأة شيء من العلوم العربية. He said the way for that is that the woman she should have some knowledge of the Arabic language. نحوها وصرفها وبلاغتها. She should learn some of the grammar, conjugation, the balagha. She need to know, understand the meanings. For example, it's been used in this context, what it means, if you use it in another context, does he take it to another way? So she can, before she speaks, she gotta choose what is like relevant to the situation. If she wants to rectify, she don't just say anything. Because sometimes people, they want to rectify, they just say anything and they cause more harm. And then benefit, and then they say, what I meant, akhi, you know, it's like, you know, I mean good, but mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. So she has to have some command of the Arabic language. لَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَكُنَ الْمَرْأَ دُرُسْ فِي ذَلِكَ وَلَوْ قَلِيلًا. Therefore, it is obligatory upon the communities to provide classes of Arabic for women, even if there are a few classes. بحيث تعبر عما في نفسها تعبيرا صحيحا تستطيع به أن تصل المعنى إلى أفئدة النساء التي تخاطبهن. So with the Arabic, and she has to be able to understand the text, and also she has the ability to express herself and to relate to the women, to the other women that she's speaking to, to relate to them the expression that are correct. So if she wants to benefit, inshallah. That's the second qualification. The third qualification, al-hikmah. Women do need this al-hikmah, which is wisdom. أن يكون لدى المرأة حكمة في الدعوة. So if the woman, she wants to rectify the society, she wants to play a role, she has to give some da'wah. So she has to have some wisdom. She doesn't going to come and call other women in any way, any fashion, any manners, any times. No, she has to have a wisdom. وفي إيصال العلم إلى من تخاطب. In if she wants to relay the knowledge and disseminate the knowledge to those women that she's speaking to, she needs حكمة. والحكمة في وضع الشيء في موضعه. What is the definition of حكمة and wisdom? هي وضع الشيء في موضعه. The حكمة is to put the right things in their proper places. That's حكمة, wisdom. When you have the ability to put the right places in the right things, in their proper places, that's wisdom, ya ikhwan. كما قال أهل العلم, the Shaykh said, as the people of knowledge, they mention. وهي من نعمة الله سبحانه وتعالى على العبد. And this is from the bounties of Allah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the servant. أن يؤتيه الله الحكمة, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him wisdom. قال الله عز وجل, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayah 269, يؤتي الحكمة من يشاء ومن يؤتى الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He grants and gives this hikmah and this wisdom to whom He wish. And whoever was granted this hikmah and wisdom, indeed he was given a great good and benefit. وما أكثر ما يفوت المقصود ويحصل الخلل إذا لم تكن هناك حكمة. Yet how many times if the hikmah and this wisdom is not used, people, they don't get to their goals. And a lot of chaos. The situation turned to chaos and misunderstanding. Because the hikmah was not used. فمن الحكمة في الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل أن ينزل المخاطب المنزلة اللائقة به. أن ينزل المخاطب المنزلة اللائقة به. He said from the hikmah, using the wisdom to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the one who wants to speak to the people, he has to know their conditions. He needs to know his crowd, who he's talking to. So he talks to them and use that which is beneficial to them, that which they can observe, that which they easy for them to comprehend. فَإِذَا كَانَ جَاهِلًا عُمِلَ الْمُعَامَلَ الَّتِي تُنَاسِبُ حَالَهُ. He said, if the person that you're speaking to is ignorant, he don't have no knowledge, so you deal with him in a manner that is suitable to his position. وَإِذَا كَانَ عَالِمًا ولكن عنده شيء من التفريط والإهمال والغفلة عمر بما تقتضيه حاله. But if the person that you're speaking to has knowledge, but in the same time is lackadaisical, he don't apply the knowledge that he knows, he don't act upon that which he know, and he's neglectful, you deal with him according to the situation. وإذا كان عالما ولكن عنده شيء من الاستكبار ورد الحق عمل بما تقتضيه حاله. And also if a person has knowledge, but in the same time got some pride and arrogance, he said, and he turns away from the haq and don't respect it and don't accept the haq when it's presented to them. So also these people, you gotta deal with them according to their situation. فالناس إذن على درجات ثلاث. He said, so therefore the people, they are of three categories. The first category, جاهلون, someone who is ignorant. The second category, وَعَالِمٌ مُتَكَاسِرٌ, and is someone who has knowledge but he's neglectful and he's lackadaisical and he's lazy. And عَالِمٌ مُعَانِدٌ, and someone who has knowledge but he's stubborn. Don't want to listen, he's stubborn. He's holding firm to his ways. وَلَا يُمْكِنُ أَن نُسَوِّيَ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ بِالْآخَرِ, and it's not befitting, or nor is it is appropriate to make all these categories equal as one. But لا بد أن ننزل كل إنسان منزلة. This is very important. We have to deal with the people, everyone according to his منزلة and his situation. ولهذا لما أرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معاذا إلى اليمن قال له إنك تأتي قوما أهل كتاب. He said, that's why for this reason, from the hikmah, from the wisdom, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent معاذ ابن جبل to اليمن to give the دعوة to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, he said to him, for verily, he gave him advice, verily you are dealing with the people of the book. وإنما قال له النبي ذلك ليعرف معاذ حالهم كي يستعد لهم بما تقتديه هذه الحال ويخاطبهم بما تقتديه هذه الحال أيضا. Why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him that and gave him that advice? Huh? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent معاذ. معاذ has some knowledge. Huh? He didn't just send him, said go to Yemen and call to Allah. He gave him some advices, pieces of advice. Huh? And one of them he said, for verily you're going to deal with the people of the book. There are not any people. The Shaykh, he said, the reason behind this advice from the Prophet ﷺ to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, so that Mu'adh, he knows who's he's dealing with. See? A part of giving correct da'wah, you're going to know who you're dealing with. Who are the people that you're going to talk to and you're going to call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? So that you may prepare for that. You prepare the right way. Because for every situation, there is a certain preparation. So you prepare the right way, according to the situation. Therefore, you speak to them according to that which goes along with their situations. وَأَمْثِلَ عَلَى اسْتِعْمَالِ الْحِكْمَةِ فِي الدَّعْوَةِ. The Shaykh said, we give some examples pertaining to using wisdom, the hikmah, in the da'wah. ويدل على استعمال الحكمة في الدعوة إلى الله وقائع وقعت ممن هو أحكم الخلق في الدعوة إلى الله ألا وهو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he said, and many proofs pertaining to using the hikmah, wisdom in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, events and things that happen from the Prophet and with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which he is the most wise of all creation, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلْنَضْرِبْ بِذَلِكَ مَثَلًا. And he said, we'll set some examples inshaAllah ta'ala to make this issue clear. المثال الأول, for those brothers who want some vocabulary, المثال الأول, the first example. المثال, example, الأول, the first. The first example, المثال الأول. الأعرابي, the Bedouin, الذي بال, who urinated في المسجد. In the masjid. See? Some Arabic, inshallah. Al-A'rabi الذي بال في المسجد. That's the first example. The Bedouin who came, and he passed urine in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While the Prophet was there, and the companions there, a man, a Bedouin came from far away. He don't know nothing about the hadara, about the social things. And he wants to relieve himself. He went to a corner of the masjid and he started urinating. He thinks in the desert or somewhere, you know. In this hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari or Muslim and others from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, أَنَّ أَعْرَابِيًا دَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدِ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ يَبُونَ. He said, a Bedouin came to the masjid and then he started urinating. Literally. فَأَخَذَتِ الصَّحَابَةُ الْغَيْرَةِ. So the Sahaba, they were very jealous. How can he come and disrespect us in the masjid? How can the person come and disrespect the masjid and start urinating in the masjid? فَنَهَوْهُ وَصَاحُوا بِهِ. So they prevented him and they shout at him. ولكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي أُتي الحكمة في الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل. Rather, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who was granted wisdom in calling to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, he said to them, لا تزرموه. Leave him alone. Do not shout at him like that. Stop him. أي لا تقطع عليه بولا. He said, do not stop him. Let him finish urinating. فلما قضى الأعرابي بوله. So now the Sahaba, they refrain because they obey the command of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Bedouin is still urinating in the masjid. Don't get your imagination go beyond that, inshallah ta'ala. So now the man is urinating in the masjid. The Sahaba, they want to take care of him, like we say. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stopped them. And the man finished urinating in the masjid, and the Prophet is there and the Sahaba. فَلَمَّا قَدَ الْأَعْرَبِي بَوْلَهُ أَمَرَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم أَنْ يُصَبَّ عَلَيْهِ أَيْ عَلَى الْبَوْلِ ذَنُوبًا مِنْ مَاءٍ أَيْ دَلْوًا مِنَ الْمَاءِ. So when the man finished urinating, what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did, the first thing he did, he asked some of the companions to go and get a bucket of water and to pour it on the spot of urine. ثم دعا الأعرابي. After that, he said to the Bedouin, come over here, come. He called him to him and he said to him, he didn't spank him or nothing. He said to him, look, subhanAllah, the wisdom. He said to him, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَسَاجِدْ لَا يَصْلُحُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْأَذَىٰ أَوْ مِنَ الْقَبْرِ. He said, this masajid, that is not permissible for anyone to bring any harm or any impurities to the masajid. وإنما هي للصلاة وقراءة القرآن وذكر الله عز وجل. Rather, this masajid are for reciting of the Quran, praying the salat, remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to learn from this, ikhwan. Because if this happened in our masjid, and even though the brothers know this hadith, they're going to take care of that person. They're going to take care of him literally. Literally. And this is against the hikmah and the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وقد روى الإمام أحمد رحمه الله أن هذا الأعرابي قال. There is an addition to this narration, but not in Bukhari or Muslim, but in Musnad of Imam Ahmad, that he said that Bedouin, based on that, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم took good care of him and dealt with him kindly, nicely, as opposed to the companions that they want to really take care of the man. The man, he said after that, Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammada wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. Said, oh Allah, have mercy upon me and Muhammad alone, and don't have mercy on anyone else but us. طيب, subhanAllah. The Shaykh said, وَنَأْخُذُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقِصَّةِ الْعِبَرَ التَّالِيَةِ. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, رحمه الله تعالى, he said, and many عِبَرَ, many classes, or many benefits, we can take and learn from there, from this qissa and from this event. Al-ibra al-awla, the first reminder, and the first benefit, أن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أخذتهم الغيرة وصاحوا بهذا الأعرابي. That's the first thing that the Sahaba, radiallahu alayhim, the companions, they were jealous. It's like, how this? They were jealous, and that's why they shout at the Arabi. How are you going to come and disrespect the masjid like that? فَيُؤْخَذُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ الْإِقْرَارُ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ. From this, the benefits that we take is that it is not permissible for someone to say an evil and just let it go or let it ride. Now you got to do something about it. So the action of the companions actually was right. They have a good intentions. Actually, the fact that they trying to change the evil, that was right. They didn't just like, okay. What make you think he's urinating? They seen the man urinating. Just sometimes people, they want to get to that logic stuff, and they're like, you know, they want to tell you in another way, this is the translator note, they want to tell you another way that that's not of my business, man. It's not of my business. He urinate, that's not my house. He urinate, this is a message. Actually, I'm not going to pray in that spot anymore. That's it. Now the Sahaba, they know that's an evil. They want to do what it takes to change that evil. بل الواجب المبادرة بالإنكار على فاعل المنكر. The Shaykh said, rather than it is obligatory upon everyone, whenever he sees a munkar, he has to hasten and rush to change the evil, of course, according to his ability. ولكن إذا كانت المبادرة تؤدي إلى أمر أكبر ضررا فإن الواجب التأني حتى تزول هذه المفسدة الكبرى. He said, but if you see that changing the evil right away at the spot may result into a greater harm and greater mafsada and evil, you need to be patient and wait until that evil finished. And then try to correct it. قال وَلِهَادَ نَهَاهُمْ نَبِيٍّ. That's why the Prophet ﷺ forbade them and commanded them not to stop him. بَلْ زَجَرَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْهُوا الْأَعْرَابِ وَصُحُوِيهِ. Rather, he was severe. Not just say, just leave him alone. Now he was severe, the Prophet ﷺ, upon them. Meaning, leave him alone. Leave that man finish urinating. العبرة الثانية, the second benefit from this qissa and this story, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقر بالمنكر لدفع ما هو أنكر منه. That the Prophet ﷺ, he let that evil proceed and continue to avoid the evil that is greater than it. This is going to be easy when the Shaykh is going to explain what is that greater evil that it may be in result of the Sahaba stopping the man from urinating. فالمنكر الذي أقره واستمرار هذا الأعراب في التبول. The evil that the Prophet ﷺ let it go and continue is the fact that this Bedouin is urinating in the masjid. والمنكر الذي دفعه بهذا الإقرار هو أن هذا الإعرابي لو قام لا يخلو من أمرين. He said, and that greater evil there may be in result of the Sahaba stopping him from urinating is that which is in result to the أعرابي who was sitting at that time, because he said إذا قام. He said he was sitting and urinating. He was sitting. He was not standing. Therefore, the sunnah you gotta sit. He was sitting and urinating, not because the Bedouin did it, because we have proof that the Prophet ﷺ from the sunnah. طيب. So we're not taking the deen from a Bedouin. We're taking it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is very important. So he said now, because if the Bedouin stood up while he's urinating. Once again, we don't want you to imagine, the Shaykh said, inshallah, what will take place. He said, the first thing that will take place, cover, inshallah, your knee, barakallahu feek. So one of the things he said, إما أن يقول مكشوف العورة لألا تثلوة ثيابه بالبول. He said, that Bedouin now he's urinating. If the companions, they shower him and he sees them coming to him, what he's going to do? He's going to stand up. He's going to try to run. I know somebody come after him, he's going to say there, yeah, come and do me whatever you want. Now he's going to try to run or whatever. So now he said, if he stood up, whether he's going to stood up while still pulling his pants up, therefore his aura is going to be exposed. Because if he thinks fast that I'm not going to let my thawb go because urine, he's still urinating. He's not done yet. So now urine gonna be on his thawb. He don't want that. If he keeps his thawb up, now his aura, because he's gonna turn, he's gonna run, his aura is gonna be exposed, and this is not something that is permissible in the deen of Islam. وَحِينَئِذٍ يَتَلَوَّتُ مِنْهُ الْمَسْجِدْ بِقَدْرٍ أَكْبَرٍ. And also by him running, now he was urinating in one spot in the masjid. If he run while he's still urinating, so the masjid gonna be going to be more spot and urine all over the masjid. We don't know what direction that Bedouin is going to take. وَيَبْدُ الرَّجُلْ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُوَ كَاشِفُ عَوْرَتِهِ وَهَاتَانِ مَفْسَدَتَانِ. So now this is a man, he's going to run. Instead of the urine is going to be only in one spot, restricted to one corner. Now he's running while he's urinating. So urine going to be all over the masjid. That's one mafsada, that's an evil. And then he's gonna run, because he don't want that the urine be on his stove, so he's running while his private parts are uncovered. So this is another evil. So there is two evils. وَأَمَّا إِذَا لَمْ يَقُمْ عَلَى هَذَا الْوَجْهِ فَإِنَّهُ سَوْفَ يَسْتُرُ عَوْرَتَهُ وَلَكِنْ تَتَلَوَّثْ ذِوَابُهُ بِمَا يَسْرِبُهُ مِنْ الْبَوْءِ. But this man choose not to do it this way and let his thawb or his go down. Now he's gonna be the one who's been harmed because urine gonna be on his thawb. Huh? فَمِنْ أَجْلِ هَاتَيْنِ الْمَفْسَدَتَيْنِ أَقَرَّهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اسْتِكْمَالَ الْبَوْءِ. Because to avoid these two evils, the Prophet ﷺ let him go with one and finish the evil of urinating in the masjid. على أنه أيضا قد حصلت هذه المفسدة بالبول في المسجد من أول الأمر. And also knowing that the man he's already urinating in the masjid. It's not like he's about to urinate. Huh? No. The man he's already urinating in the masjid. There is always harm and evil and impurity that is caused to the masjid. فإذا قام في فإن هذه المفسدة التي حصلت لن تختفي. Even though if they stopped him, meaning that the urine gonna go with him, huh? No, the urine still gonna remain in the masjid even if they stop that person. فنأخذ من هذه النقطة عبرة. He said, from this we remember and we learn a benefit, which is أن المنكر إذا كان لا يؤول إلا لشيء أنكر منه فإن الواجب الإمساك دفعا لكبرى المفسدتين بصغراهما. قاعدة مهمة. He said, therefore we learn from this that if the evil actually now may get to an evil that is greater than it, we should remain and keep that small evil, to avoid the consequences that may be greater. For a better lack of translation. وَلِهَذَا أَصْلًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And to this, there is an origin and a principle in the book of Allah, the ayah of Surah Al-An'am, the ayah number 108. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَسُبُّوا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّوا اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not curse those who ascribe others gods, false gods, along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if you curse them, they may curse Allah, out of enmity and with no knowledge. And the Shaykh said, كُلُّنَا يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ سَبَّ الْآلِهَةِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْمَحْبُوبَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. We all know that cursing all the idols and the false gods and deities of the polytheists is something that bring closeness to Allah, something that is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ لَمَّا كَانَ سَبُّ هَذِهِ الْآلِهَةِ يُؤَدِّي إِلَى سَبِّ مَنْ لَيْسَ أَهْلًا لِلسَّبِّ. But since cursing them out, it may lead to cursing the one who should not be cursing in a time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وهو الرب عز وجل فقد نهانا الله سبحانه وتعالى عن سب آلهتهم في الآية السابقة. For that reason, Allah سبحانه وتعالى forbade us to curse out their idols and their false gods, just to avoid the fact that give them a chance to curse Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Because the companions, tafsir of this ayah, the companions, they used to curse the Aliha, and then the first gods, and then the companions used to curse them. So the polytheists and the pagans, they start cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah revealed this ayah and said, do not curse their false idols. It's not because it's not right. Yeah, it's right, inshallah ta'ala. This is something that Allah loves. But since it brings a harm greater than it, it needs to be left alone. وأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بإزالة المفسدة لأن تأخير له وفات. العبرة الثالثة. The third benefit from this story, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he hastened to clean out and to clean the urine. He didn't wait. He even did that. He did that even before admonishing the Bedouin. He ordered in the hadith that a bucket of water should be poured on the place of urine even before he called the Bedouin and correct him. لأن التأخير له آفات. Because if he let it go with the time, he may have more harm on the urine. You know, he's going to smell, he's going to get through the deeply and all these things. إذ كان من الممكن أن يؤخر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تطهير هذه البقعة من المشرب حتى يحتاج الناس إلى الصلاة فيها. He said it would okay for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to wait and don't rush. Wait until if the masjid gets crowded and the people need to use that spot for the salah, therefore at that moment the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will order someone to clean that spot. ولكن من الأولى أن يبادر الإنسان إلى إزالة المفسدة حتى لا يعتريه فيما بعد عجز أو نسيان. He said, bad though, which is rather incumbent upon the person that whenever there is a situation like this and there is an evil, he need to rush. So the Shaykh, حفظه الله تعالى, he said, إزالتها في المستقبل. So that's why he has to hasten and rush to correct this as soon as possible before he forget or he get lazy about that. فمثلا لو أصابت التوبة نجاسة وهو ثوب يصلي فيه أو لا يصلي فيه. So for example, if someone's thobe was touched with any kind of impurity, whether he pray in that thobe or he's not praying in it, فالأولى أن يبادر بغسل هذه الجنابة. يا أبا محمد. He said rather that what he should do, he has to hasten to change and to clean out that impurity. وَأَلَّا يُؤَخِّرَهُ لِأَنَّهُ رَبَّمَا يَنْسَى فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. And he should not delay it because he may forget. أو يعجز عن إزالتها إما لفقد الماء أو لغير ذلك. Or maybe he may forget and he may not be able to clean it because now he has water to clean it and he didn't do it. Later on he wants to clean it, now he may not find the water and the means to do it. ولهذا لما جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بصبي أقعده في حجره فبال الصبي في حجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that's why another way, another story, that when a young boy, young kid, a newborn baby came and to the Prophet, they bring him to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم put him on his lap, and what happened? The baby urinated on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. What the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did? فأمر صلى الله عليه وسلم بماء فأتبع البول مباشرة. At that moment the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم command or ask for some water and he cleaned that right away. ولم يؤخر غسل ثوبه إلى وقت الصلاة لما ذكرنا آنفا. Rather the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he didn't delay taking care of that and cleaning his thobe until when the time of the salah. طيب العبرة الرابعة, the fourth benefit, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر الأعرابي بشأن هذه المساجد. Also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he informed and he told this Bedouin about the masajid, what they are built for, وأنها إنما بنيت للصلاة وقراءة القرآن وذكر الله, and that this masajid they were built only for the salah, for the recitation of the Quran, for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أو كما قال لا يصلح فيها شيء من الأذى والقدر. Or like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no harm, no impurities, and no transgression should be displayed in this masajid. إذن فسأل المساجد, he said therefore we need to take good care of the masajid, أن تعظم وأن تنظف وأن تطهر. That we should respect the masajid and we give them the rights that is due to them. We should purify them, clean them. وَأَلَّا يُعْمَلَ فِيهَا إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. And no action should be performed in the masjid except that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from salat, recitation of the Quran, the remembrance of Allah, and likewise. العبرة الخامسة, the fifth benefit, أن الإنسان إذا دعا غيره بالحكمة واللطف واللين حسن من المطلوب ما هو أكبر مما لو أراد معالجة الشيء بالعنف. He said if someone uses hikmah, wisdom, and use kindness, gentleness in dealing with the issues, so now the result will be greater and bigger than if he used عنف, shidda, harshness and hard. Isma, you didn't turn it before, right? The brother just turned it. So. Make sure it is turned in the right way. وقد اقتنع هذا الأعرابي اقتناعا تاما بما علمه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And based on this, and how the Prophet ﷺ dealt kindly and nicely, wisely with this Bedouin, even though he did what he did, he was convinced completely and took the advice of the Prophet ﷺ until he said that famous statement, Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammada wa la tarhamma ana ahada. Oh Allah, please have mercy on me and Muhammad alone. Don't have mercy on nobody else. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ was so nice to him and kind to him. He's a Bedouin. He don't know nothing. He don't know nothing about the mercy of Allah that he should not make that statement. Al-Mithal al-Thani, the second story, an example. Al-Sahabi الذي جامع زوجته في نهار رمضان. The story of that companion who had intercourse with his wife in the daylight of Ramadan. Daylight of Ramadan. He's a companion. Who did it? You know, human being, he has intercourse with his wife in the day of Ramadan. فأخرج البخاري من حديث أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاءه رجل فقال يا رسول الله هلكت. So, الإمام البخاري, he collected in his Sahih from the hadith of أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه that a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, Oh رسول الله, Oh Messenger of Allah, I am destroyed. I'm destroyed. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma ahlaka? What destroy you? What do I wish destroy you?" قال وقعت على امرأتي في رمضان وأنا صائم. He said that he has intercourse with his wife, while he's fasting in the day of Ramadan. Therefore, it's not permissible, ya ikhwan, to have intercourse for those brothers who don't know. Probably they forget, or they may have some doubt, whatever. Any angle, it's not permissible to have intercourse with one's wife or wives in the daytime of Ramadan. In nighttime, alhamdulillah. Let's make sure to make ghusl. Está bueno?
No,
¿qué pasa? The Shaykh said, وَهَذَا جُرْمٌ عَظِيمٌ أَنْ يَتَعَمَّدَ الْإِنسَانِ جِمَاعَ زَوْجَتِهِ وَهُوَ صَائِمٌ فِي رَمَضَانِ. He said, no, that this is one of the great of evil. That a person deliberately and on purpose, he chooses to have intercourse with his wife in the day of Ramadan. That's not the first day he forget or he has a doubt whether the moon is today is Ramadan. Now he knows and he deliberately, willingly he has intercourse with his wife. وَلَكِنْ لِنَنْدُرْ كَيْفَ عَامَلَهُ النَّبِيِّ. But now he said, let's see how the Messenger of Allah ﷺ dealt with the situation. If it was for us, subhanAllah, somebody may call him a mubtada, somebody call him a kafir, somebody, not us, أعوذ بالله, the people of innovation, not us. Let me take that back, not us, alhamdulillah. We don't make takfir on nobody, we don't speak with no knowledge. العلم قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة that the ilm, Allah said, the Messenger of Allah said, the understanding of the Sahaba, and not by mere interpretation according to how we look at the situation. Somebody may say, it's clear, huh? Look at it, it's clear. It's clear, man. Why you want to like bother a sheikh? Why you bothering the da'wah? Bothering the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the Shaykh is there to be bothered inshaAllah ta'ala. If you think he's going to be bothered, now you ask if you don't know. Barakallahu feekum. Al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal. Knowledge precedes actions and statements. So let's see, the Shaykh has said, let's see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with this man. Hal zajarahu? Was he harsh on him? Hal takallama alayh? Did he talk against him to others? هل وبخه? Did he punish him? لا. The answer to all of the above is no. None of this happened. لأن الرجل جاء تائبا نادما, because the man, he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم willing to repent and he regrets what he has done. وليس معرضا مستهترا غير مبالي بما جرى منه. And that the man, he was not in a position or from some those who was like, he didn't care. Yeah, he did it, but he don't care whatever was going on. Now he came, he knew that he made a mistake and he shouldn't have done it, but he came to repent to Allah. He wants to repent to Allah. He didn't know what he has to do. That's why he came to the Prophet ﷺ. So
So what the Prophet ﷺ did at that moment? فَسَأَلَهُ النَّبِيُّ The Prophet ﷺ asked him certain question. He said, هَلْ يَجِدُ رَقَبَةً لِيَعْتِقَهَا كَفَّارَةً عَمَّا وَقَعَ مِنْهُ He said, do you know, or can you, do you have the means to free a slave, a believing slave? Do you have the means to free a slave? That's the kafar, that's the expiation. The first thing, if somebody break the fast in Ramadan willingly, he has first one, see if he has the ability to free a slave. Not to go to some house and break in it and say, yo, go, you free, go, run. No. Yeah, I freed him, he's free. Hey, I got some witnesses in here, he's free. No. This is his interpretations, you know, of the people. Now, free means to be able to go and get some dough and some money to the people and buy the person and then free him, you know. فَقَالَ لَا The person say, no, man, I got no money. No, I cannot do that. I cannot afford to do this. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَسُومَ شَهْرٍ مُتَتَابِعًا He said, okay, can you fast 2 months in a row? 2 months, Not just one day here, not Mondays and Thursdays, 3 days of the month. No, 2 months, for one day, 2 months. فَقَالَ لَا He said, no, man, I can't fast 2 months. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَطْعِمَ سِتِّينَ مِسْكِينَ He said to him, if he can feed 60 poor people, can feed 60 poor people, he said, no. No, I got no ability to feed those kind of people. ثُمَّ جَلَسَ الرَّجُلُ So then, and the man sits waiting for the Prophet, what he's going to do, you know. فَأُتِيَ لِلنَّبِيِّ بِتَمَرَهُ Somebody bring a date to the messenger. Somebody came and bring a date to the Prophet ﷺ. The Shaykh said, Tamara, one day. فَقَالَ خُدْ هَذَا لِفَتَصَدَّقْ بِهِ So the Prophet ﷺ, he gave that day to that person and say, okay, take this and give it in charity and you'll be okay, inshallah ta'ala. Meaning as expiation, the Shaykh said, is expiation to his sin. Look at the yusr and the easiness of the deen. From freeing a slave, or fasting 2 months, or feeding 60 people, to just give a date. He didn't even buy it. It's been given to him from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the easiness of this deen, of this religion, ya akhwan. We need to learn from the hikmah and wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, it is a must and wajib upon us to follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, based on that, the man said, "A'la afqara minni ya Rasulullah?" He said, "I ain't nobody. I know nobody that is more poor. I don't know nobody that is poorer than me. You tell me to take this date and give it in charity to someone, I don't know nobody who is in more in need than me." He said, "Verily, ma bayna lamatayha ahlu baytin afqar minni." He said, "There is no one between the two in Medina, I don't know no family that is more poor than my situation." فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فضحك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى بدت نواجده ثم قال أطعمها أهلاك and based on that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he started laughing until his molars appears to the companions and he said go ahead man feed your people إن شاء الله تعالى سبحان الله فنجد في هذه القصة عبرا منها he said in this story we find many benefits and one of them أنه لم يعنف الرجل ولم يزره ولم يوبخه لأنه جاء تائبا نادما that the Prophet ﷺ did not, was not harsh upon this person. He did not punish him. He did not say no harsh words to him. Why? Because this person came to the Prophet ﷺ, he wants to repent to Allah. He regrets what he's done. وهناك فرق بين رجل معاند ورجل مسالم جاء يستنجد بنا وَيَطْلُبُ مِنَّا أَن نُخَلِّصَهُ مِمَّا وَقَعَ فِيهِ He said, there is a huge difference between a person who came peacefully and he's seeking our help and to help him to get out of that which he get himself into from trouble so we can help him from a person who don't care. From some person though he did it, but he don't care. He don't want to listen to nobody. لذلك عامله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بهذه المعاملة
حيث رده إلى أهله ومعه الغنيمة التي حملها من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم dealt with him with kindness, and he even gave him something to take to his family. وهي هذا التمر الذي كان مفروضا عليه أن يطعمه 60 مسكينا لو لم يكن فقيرا. And he said that this is this date. Now the sheikh is using the plural, huh? So it's not one date. Maybe it was a print, maybe a misprint. Huh? So he said it is these dates that the Prophet ﷺ gave him, and actually he should be the one that buying some dates and feeding the other poor. Now he's the one that he's been given the dates to feed himself and his family. Look at the yusr and the easiness of this deen. المثال الثالث, the third example the Shaykh mentioned, الرجل الذي عطس في المسجد في الصلاة, the person, the man who sneezed in the salah. They were praying behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. A man sneezed. قال نأخذ هذا المثال من حديث معاوية بن الحكم السلمي رضي الله عنه. He said this is happened, or the story that happened to the companion معاوية بن الحكم السلمي رضي الله عنه حين دخل مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يصلي فعطس رجل من القوم. This story happened that معاوية بن الحكم السلمي, he was praying with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. نجماعة. And then a man sneezed. فقال الحمد لله. فقال له معاوية يرحمك الله. So the man sneezed and he said الحمد لله. معاوية بن الحكم said to him يرحمك الله. That's what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told them, right? In general, if somebody sneezes and said الحمد لله, say to him يرحمك الله. Here I want to like add something inshallah ta'ala. It's from the Shaykh Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen, some points of fiqh pertaining to this point. From Shaykh Salih al-Uthaymeen, I'm not adding it from me, but I heard the Shaykh Salih al-Uthaymeen in another tape, inshallah ta'ala, say, pertaining to this hadith, when he was explaining this hadith, that he said, well actually in the hadith of two men that came, they were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they both sneezed. And the Prophet ﷺ said to one, يرحمك الله, and didn't say to the other. So the other person, he kind of like felt some kind of way, and said to the Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, we both sneeze. You said to him, يرحمك الله. This is a dua of the Prophet ﷺ, يا أخوان, that Allah make the dua for you, may Allah have mercy on you. SubhanAllah, that's the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. And we feel happy when our brother say, يرحمك الله. What about when he comes from the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ? So this man felt kind of way. What about me? Why you don't say يرحمك الله, may Allah has mercy upon you? The Prophet ﷺ said, أما هذا فقد حمد الله ولم تحمده. He said, as for this person when he sneezed, he said الحمد لله, and you didn't. So from here the fiqh of the hadith, the Shaykh Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said, if someone sneezed and don't say الحمد لله, don't say to him يرحمك الله. That's one. Two, don't remind him. Don't say to him, say alhamdulillah, so we can say to you, rahmukallah. He said, don't remind him. Why? Because the Prophet did not remind that man. He didn't say to him, hey, say alhamdulillah. He didn't remind him. He said, therefore, this is a teaching. Because why the Shaykh Salih al-Uthaymeen? Because the Prophet said to them before, he taught them, إِذَا عَطَسَ أَحَدُكُمْ وَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ فَلْيُشَمِّتْهُ. Sahibu, if someone of you sneezed and praised Allah, see, the Prophet said, he didn't say sneeze, and I said, let everybody who hears him sneezing say to him, Alhamdulillah, he said, and if one of you sneezed and said, Alhamdulillah, therefore Shaykh Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said, that therefore you don't remind the people when they don't say, Alhamdulillah. You teach the people, but they lose their rights. Because one of the rights of the Muslim over a non-Muslim is the tashmid, is to say to him, يرحمك الله, when he sneezed, and say, alhamdulillah, not just when he sneezed. طيب, تنبهوا بارك الله فيكم. So, Shaykh Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen, we go back to the hadith of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami. He said he was praying with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another man was praying, and he sneezed, said, alhamdulillah, Muawiyah said to him, يرحمك الله. فرماه الناس بأبصارهم يعني استنكار لقوله. Why he does that? The people, they were looking at him like in a way, like the Shaykh said, like, why you say stuff like that in a salah? They didn't speak, but then the way they look is like the Shaykh said, استنكار لقوله, meaning that you shouldn't say that. فَقَالَ وَاثُقْ لَأُمَّيَاهِ.
So Amaya Salami, when the people they were looking at him, he was saying like,
وَاثُقْ لَأُمَّيَاهِ is the expression, my mother help me at this moment, or I wish if my mother be here to help me, or something like that. It's now for a better lack of translation.
فَجَعَلُوا يَدْرِبُونَ عَلَىٰ أَفْخَادِهِمْ يُسَكِّتُونَهُ فَسَكَنْ.
So he was saying that, so they were like tapping on their thighs, on their thighs, because that's the thigh, right? Okay, on their thighs. See, if I made this mistake on spelling, people may say, oh, Muhammad, this is the proof that the companion used to have thighs. See, you know what I'm talking about? So it is thighs or thighs? Thighs. And get that tongue between the teeth, Thighs. Not the thighs upon the neck. The thighs between the knee and the waist. Okay, tell you. I just want to make myself clear, So you see all the people who getting thighs, yeah. The Prophet, the Sahaba, they have thighs, man. If the Prophet would know it's a bid'ah, he could correct them. Not the thighs, thighs. Okay, the flesh. Tayyib. There is something happened to me, something I have to deal with my accent, you know, mashallah, Allah understand. Tayyib. As long as you understand me. See, that's why the Shaykh Salah Al-Taymin, he was talking, giving the nasiha to the women, they have to have some fasaha to speak clearly and correctly, express themselves rightly, so people can understand, not to take another meaning and apply it. Tayyib? So the thighs, barakallahu feekum. So now they start tapping on that which we just mentioned and spend like 3 minutes on it. Aramin to tell him, just be quiet. This is a salat, you should not be talking. فَلَمَّنْ صَرَفَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ دَعَاهُ وَقَالَ لَهُ. So when the salat was over, the Prophet ﷺ, he called Muawiyah. He called him and he said to him, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ لَا يَصْبَحُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِّنْ كَلَامِ النَّاسِ إِنَّمَا هِيَ التَّكْبِيرُ وَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. The Prophet ﷺ kindly, nicely, he said to him, verily this salat, nothing is permissible in it from the statements and the talk of the people, that which they usually say, not in the salah. Rather, it is the takbir. Once you say the takbir, that's it. You don't talk until you finish. That's why takbiratul ihram, they call it takbiratul ihram, because once you say Allahu Akbar, the first one, that makes a lot of things that is permissible become impermissible. Make food impermissible. Not pork. Chicken wings. The halal, dhabiha. Or maybe from the people of the book. Alright? Make that cheeseburger with that whopper. Especially when the sale get 2 for 99 cents. It's halal. But now in the salah is not halal. It's not halal. I don't like mine with pickles and ketchup. Tayyib. Just in case I be around anybody who won't treat me or something. Right, Abu Mujahid? You taking a note? You gotta take that note, huh? Tayyib. I'm gonna ask the brother to erase this from the tape. So it's no business for that. But sometimes this is, we bring some humor just not to make it boring, ikhwan. It's not that the purpose is to entertain you. It's not about entertainment. It's about learning. But this is from the way of Ahlul Ilm. We sit in their gatherings, in their places, and alhamdulillah, sometimes they bring some kind of type of... as long as it's permissible, don't say a joke or something, pull up something from Jaylin or talk or something like that. That's haram. These are people like Dajjaloon, Kadhaboon, they liars. It's not permissible to listen to them or none of that, But if it's something, inshallah, that may bring some humor and something so the people can refresh and fill into the environment, Right? Zakaria?
Always correct.
Alhamdulillah. You, Alhamdulillah. Tayyib, so now, this man, the Prophet ﷺ called him and he said to him,
Nothing, nothing should be mentioned in the salah. Because when you say Allahu Akbar, that's it. You cannot talk, you cannot walk, you cannot eat, these things. You cannot jump, you cannot drive, you cannot do a lot of things. But the tasleem makes the tahleel. When you say salamu alaykum, those things that now are not impermissible during the salah become permissible. After the salah, you can eat, you can talk, you can do this, mashallah. But it does not mean that we're calling the people right after the salah, salamu alaykum, hey, what's up, man, how you doing, alhamdulillah, yeah, that's your call. No, we gotta like follow the sunnah, especially the sisters, and the brothers, especially also, that after the salah, we don't talk about the issues of the deen. We need to follow the sunnah, make the dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to make, following the sunnah. We don't wipe over our face with our with the hands in the end of the dua, because this is a bid'ah munkara. Nor we say the dua aloud, Allahumma salli ala, all of them together. This is all bid'ah and innovation. We know what is the sunnah and we say it, insha'Allah ta'ala. We don't need no bees or no stones or no none of that. The Prophet ﷺ used to make the dhikr with his right hand, and we do it with that, inshallah ta'ala. So then he said, Al-Mithal al-Rabi, and then Muawiyah said, بِأَبِي هُوَ وَأُمِّي مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ وَلَا وَاللَّهِ مَا كَهَرَنِي وَلَا نَهَرَنِي. Muawiyah said that بِأَبِي هُوَ وَأُمِّي, meaning I will free him with my father and mother, meaning if I have to choose to between my father and mother and the Prophet, I will go with the Prophet ﷺ. He said, this is an expression that the people of the Arabs of the time they use today, he said, I never send any teacher better than him in teaching. He didn't was harsh to me, nor he didn't say nothing to me that was kind of way or cause the person to get offended or likewise. The fourth example, the Shaykh, he said, الرجل الذي لبس خاتم من ذهب, the person who was wearing a golden ring. There was a man with the Prophet ﷺ and he has a golden ring on his finger. What finger? I don't know. The qissa don't say. On his finger, that's what they say. طيب, نأخذ هذا المثال من قصة الرجل الذي كان عليه خاتم من ذهب. This is a man. He has a golden ring on him. وَكَانَ سَبِيَ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ بَيْنَ الْدَّهَبَ حَرَامَ عَدُكُمْ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ. But this person, he was wearing that gold after that the Prophet ﷺ has already made it clear that gold is haram upon the males, not the females, upon the males of this ummah. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the Prophet ﷺ said when he saw that man, يَعْمَدُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى جَمْرَةٍ مِنْ نَارٍ فَيَدَعُهَا فِي يَدِهِ. One of you, how come one of you go to a coal, hot coal from the fire, and put it in his hand? ثم نزع النبي الخاتم بنفسه ورمى به. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he went to the man's hand and he snatched out the ring and threw it away. فلما انصرف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قيل للرجل, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم left, the people they said to the man, خذ خاتمك وانتفع به. Take, now the Prophet ﷺ left, take your ring, man, take your ring. Prophet left. Prophet left the building, take your ring. Take your ring. فَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَخُذُ شَخَاتَمًا طَرَحَهُ النَّبِيِّ. He said, by Allah, I will never take something that the Prophet ﷺ snatched from me and throw it away. Subhanallah. Shaykh Muhammad, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and he was bringing the lean, and in ittiba' actually, those people who follow the sunnah and the command, and those who reject it. In those who follow the sunnah, he brought this hadith. This is a translator note for more beneficial, inshallah. He brought this hadith, he said, look at this man. The iman has settled in his heart. That's why he obeyed the command of the Prophet ﷺ. As soon as the Prophet ﷺ threw away that ring, even though the people, they said to him, take it, he said, I'm not taking nothing that the Prophet ﷺ threw away. He's a true believer, he said. As for he brought an example for the one that he displays iman and obedience, but in reality he's not down with the
command of the Prophet ﷺ is the man who was eating with his left foot. Left hand, actually, left hand. Left hand, and then the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, "Kul bi yamini." The Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Eat with your right hand." قال لا أستطيع ما منعه إلا الكبر. He said, "I can," but the man was proud and arrogant. He could eat with his right hand, but he was so proud and arrogant, he said, "I couldn't." The Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, لا استطعت. You may never be able to do so. So the man, he was never be able to put the food in his mouth. Now he's going to hire somebody to feed the man. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوتَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. He said, this is an example of a man that go against the sunnah. Look what happened to him, ya ikhwan. Going against the sunnah is not something that is easy, barakallahu fikum. وَالْمُقَوِّمَ الرَّابِعِ. So the Shaykh said, إِذَا لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ الدَّاعِيَ مُنَزِّلًا لِكُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مَنْزِلَتَهُ بِحَسَبِ مَا تَقْتَدِي الْحَالِ. So the person who want to call the people, and especially the women, because to the women, if those sisters want to call some sisters to wear a hijab, because sometimes there are sisters, they just took shahada, they may come in not even a veil on them. They may come in a jeans and a t-shirt and everything, you know. And now, this happened back where we come from in the East Coast, because a lot of women, when they just took shahada, they complained to us from questions, from phone calls, whatever. They said that the Salafiyat, I want the sisters here, inshallah ta'ala. I know that the people down south, they kind of like more relaxed, alhamdulillah. Tayyib. But we need to say what we have to say, that those sisters, they complain, they said, this Salafiyat, when we go to the masjid, they look at us in a bad way, they talk bad about us, and how we're not wearing the niqab, and we're not wearing black. And all this. Some women, they cry. Some sisters, they even were so mean, they push certain women, they tell them, don't come over here anymore. Don't come in this masjid. This masjid is Salafi masjid. You're gonna come with a Madonna t-shirt like that. The woman don't know nothing, huh? Teach her. Yeah, it's happening. Right? It's happening. That's real. I'm not going to swear on it, but it's real. It is actually happening. Women told us that they told them, this is a Salafi masjid. Who you think yourself, in a gas station, on a bus station, coming like that? Like that woman choose to come like that. That woman just took shahada. If she only asked her, hold on, yeah, sister, I never seen you before. You're new? Yeah, I just took shahada, alhamdulillah. And you will see in her face that she's all nervous and anxious and she don't feel comfortable. You gotta make her comfortable. Tell her, don't worry, sister. I was... If you only know the first time I came to the masjid what I was wearing, it was like, even if she didn't, was wearing that, just to make her feel comfortable. You know what? I got in my purse right here. Here you go. I got something, inshallah. Put this on, inshallah, ta'ala. Well, you know what? I got something for you, inshallah. Give me your phone number. I'm going to, inshallah, drop something for you. But where are we from this, Juan, ya, Juan? Hey, she's not a Salafi. She's just become a Muslim. She don't know nothing about the Salafi or nothing. Now she's going to go crying outside. She's going to be on a bus or something. Get with a tablighiya, or a Sophia, and said to her, "Who made you cry? Some Muslim girls and this and they repelled me away with the masjid. Where is it? What's the address?" She gave her the address. She said, "Oh, that masjid, they evil. I don't go there. I'm a Muslim. I've been a Muslim. I don't go because I know the sisters. They ain't about nothing. They harsh and hard. They think they come with me. You hungry? Yeah, no, not really. Yeah, come with me." I give her some curry chicken and all. The woman knows she's gonna change her diet. Just because that woman was nice to her. We are more worthy of this kindness, ya akhwan wa ya akhawat. It's not entertainment. But we are more worthy to step to the plate and be kind and nice to the people, ya akhwan wa ya akhawat. How then lead the people of bid'ah snatch people away from us? Lead the people of bid'ah snatch people. Allah sent people to us and we repel them away and then they feel prey and victim to the people of bid'ah and innovation.
We have a best example today. The brother Omar from Kenya, that he came and he took shahada, alhamdulillah. He just came. He didn't come with no Muslims. He was searching for the truth. Huh? And then somebody told him, yeah, there is some conference in university. And go. He came. Who brought him in here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him. He came to here, he listens to the speech of the shaykh. Right after that he came. Allah still guiding him, still putting him on the right path. Yeah, I got a question. I looked at him, I could say that he's a Muslim, because we see a Muslim looking like him, meantime. I said, yeah, mashallah. Go ahead, ya akhi. He said, yeah, that mashallah, that he's interested in Islam, and what kind of books, he said, you advise that he can read so he can know more about Islam. I said, come here, sit with me, right here, mashallah. So he sits, talk to him nicely, kindly, alhamdulillah. I didn't offer him no curry chicken or nothing. In matter of fact, I didn't know about that rice and that chicken. I was coming here. You alright? We didn't know, right, Mujahid? I didn't know, right? I didn't know. Right? Tayyib. We didn't know actually about that. Well, alhamdulillah, qaddar. There wasn't curry chicken anyway.
No.
Okay, alhamdulillah. It was rice there. It was a basmati too. Tayyib. Huh? And then I said to him, listen man, we're going to give you these books. But once you take shahada, inshallah, be Muslim, inshallah, and then, hey, then study. It's like, yeah, okay. So he took shahada. But look, what we're talking about here, that Allah is merciful. This person, he could end up with jama'at al-tabligh. He could end up like many, many of you brothers or sisters, has to go through. Huh? A lot of you brothers, they were with Word of Deen. They were with the nation of anti-Islam. Some people they call nation of kufr. Because they're not about Islam. Huh? Some people they were nation of Mislam. Or Islam. Whatever. I call them nation of pies. And pies. Huh? Ties. I had to use that word somewhere else. Nation of pies and ties. Tayyib? Well, they have bows, right?
Yeah.
Bow ties, there you go. And bow ties. Huh? Some of them got ties. Maybe the managers. Tayyib, right? So many of you brothers, or maybe sisters, I know brothers, close to me, they du'at, they come here Salafis and teach the sunnah, the minhaj, the bid'ah, smash it. He was a mubtada. 10 years ago, 15, he was with a tabligh, or he was with Word of Deen, he was a Bilalian, he was with Elijah Paul, he was with all these people, man. But now Allah guided him to Islam. But Allah has saved this person, this brother from Kenya, his name is Omar. Huh? I forget the address. I was going to bring it so that you can go check on the brother. But this is the administration, inshallah. They have the information right near them. Inshallah, keep checking on the brother, inshallah ta'ala. He was very, very happy, man. That the brother, they show him so much love, and brothers gave him, somebody gave him books, some gave him thawb, brother, somebody gave him hugs. Everybody gave him hugs, I believe. You know? And he was so happy, man. He said, this is real. And he was asking me some serious questions. He said, I want to know, man, the way you dressed. Is this what I should be dressing? That's the right thing? I was going to say to him, don't worry about this, worry about Tawheed. But I see the man so concerned. I said, yes, this is the way you should be dressed. Because a lot of people, they take shahada, but then they're like, do I have to wear black? Do I have to wear that thing that you can't even see nothing, not even the eyes? They don't know the terminologies. Those are women, they still hesitant. We tell them, no, you don't have to. You got to think about it, but worry about the Tawheed, inshallah. And then you got to come eventually, make a decision yourself, step by step, inshallah. And because we've seen women, they were wearing white, now they get to green, they get to beige, they go back to green, they go to navy blue, and then before you know it, they're all in black, alhamdulillah. Women in black. Sisters, Salafis. So, this brother, Allah saved him from going with the tablighi, then sick, spent couple years, and then couple years with Jibali, and couple years with the whatever, who and who, huh? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is from the ni'mah of Allah, and I told him, from the favors of Allah upon you, that He sent you to the people of Ahl Sunnah. This is a statement of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. That's from the ni'mah of Allah upon a person, that He will guide him to a person of a Sunnah. And that's from the ni'mah of Allah upon that person that sent him to the people of Ahl Sunnah. So it's up to us to do the job. So therefore, everyone has to put the people in their proper places, so if he wants to do a good job, ya ikhwan. Al-muqawwim al-rabi', the fourth qualification that the women should have, the sisters, husnu tarbiyah. She has to have a good education, the best of educations. أي أن تكون المرأة حسنة التربية لأولادها. That the woman, she should educate her children well. In a good way. لأن أولادها هم رجال المستقبل ونساء المستقبل. Because her children, they may be boys or girls, those boys, they become the men in the future. And then those girls, they become the women in the future. Nobody stay a boy or stay a girl. Huh? وأول ما ينشئون يقابلون هذه الأم. Because when those boys and girls, the first thing, when they start talking or start remembering things or getting familiar with things, huh? What they do? Who they see in front of them? The mother. The first. Unless if the mother have a job and put them in a kindergarten or a daycare, the first thing they see is that daycare woman. See, this is the evil of women going, working, unless if she had to. Huh? But if she doesn't have to, she should not work. She should not work for benefits from this life. Rather, she has to give a good care and a good education to her boys and girls. فإذا كانت الأم على جلب الأخلاق وحسن المعاملة وظهروا على يديها وتربوا عليها فإنهم سوف يكون لهم أثر كبير في إصلاح المجتمع. Therefore, if the woman, which is the mother now in this situation, she has a good etiquette, good manners, good أخلاق, then these children, they're going to grow up in front of her and she's going to educate them and give them education. They're going to really take her example and they're going to be influenced by her and they're going to be a factors that will benefit the mujtama. لذلك يجب على المرأة ذات الأولاد أن تعتني بأولادها وأن تهتم بتربيتهم. That's why he said it is upon and a must upon the woman that have children to take good care of her children and that to give them a good education. وأن تستعين إذا عجزت عن إصلاحهم وحدها بأبيهم أو بولي أمرهم. And she should seek help if she could not do it alone, that to get the husband involved or the wali al-amr. If there is no husband or no father, if there is no father for those children, she sees someone who is the guardian of them. إذا لم يكن لهم أب من إخوة أو أعمام أو بني إخوة, if there is no father or uncle or something like that. ولا ينبغي للمرأة أن تستسلم للواقع. And the woman, he said, should not give up for the things that going on around her. And she may say, سار الناس على هذا فلا أستطيع أن أغير. And she may say, listen, everybody is upon this. Ain't nobody listening to nobody. What I'm gonna bother and try to rectify anything? لأننا لو بقينا هكذا مستسلمين للواقع ما تم الإصلاح. If we stay on this and we think negatively like that, in this way, and we give up to what's going on and to the evil that is surrounding us, no rectification will take place ever. إذن إذ إن الإصلاح لابد أن يغير ما فسد على وجه صالح. Because the rectification has to bring about righteousness and change according to that which was corrupt and evil in a good way. ولا بد أن يغير الصالح إلا ما هو أصلح منه حتى تستقيم الأمور. And that which is good, if you want to make it perfect, you're going to use a better way to make it perfect. ثم إن التسليم للواقع أمر غير وارد في الشريعة الإسلامية. And then he said this principle of giving up or giving in to the things that are happening, say, we can do nothing, man. It's everybody in the same boat and we can do nothing about it. He said this is not something from this deen of Islam. وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا بَعَثَ النَّبِيُّ فِي أُمَّتِهِ
مشركة يعبد أفرادها الأصنام لما بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في أمته. That's why when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent as a messenger and a prophet to his ummah, that they were polytheists and they used to worship idols. ويقطعون الأرحام, and they boycott their family members. ويظلمون ويبغون على الناس بغير حق. They transgress and they go beyond the limits. They transgress and oppress the people with no right. لم يستسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't say, man, I can't do nothing about this. They've been like this. Just let it the way. Leave it the way it is. No, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't give up. بل لم يأذن الله له أن يستسلم الأمر الواقع. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him an order to give up to the thing that was happening. بل قال سبحانه وتعالى, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, as in Surah Al-Hijr, ayah 94, فصدع بما تؤمر وأعرض عن المشركين. Go ahead, publicly, say that which you were commanded with to say, and turn away from the polytheists. فأمره سبحانه أن يصدع بالحق وأن يعرض عن المشركين ويتناسى شركهم وعدوانهم حتى يتم له الأمر. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to say the truth and to avoid and to turn away from the polytheists, and he forget that which they are upon and their transgression until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him victory. وهذا هو الذي حصل. And that what actually happened. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم never gave up. نعم قد يقول قائل. So he says some, yes, somebody may say, إِنَّ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنْ نُغَيِّرْ لَكِنْ لَيْسَ بِالسُّرْعَ الَّتِي نُرِيدُهَا. He said, yes, from the wisdom that we will change, bring some changement, but not as fast as my people may think, لِأَنَّ الْمُجْتَمَعَ عَلَى خِلَافِ مَا نُرِيدُ مِنَ الْإِصْلَاحِ. Because the society is upon that which, the opposite of that which we want to rectify about and bring the rectification. فَحِينَئِذٍ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَنْتَقَلَ الْإِنسَانُ بِالنَّاسِ لِإِصْلَاحِهِمْ مِنَ الْأَهَمِّ إِلَى مُدُونَهِ. In this case, the Shaykh, he said that the person, he has to use the wisdom and the hikmah and to try to rectify that which is in a greater importance than the one that is lesser in importance. أن يبدأ بإصلاح الأهم والأكثر إلحاحا ثم ينتقل بالناس شيئا فشيئا حتى يتم له مقصوده. He said that the person has to start with rectifying and changing that which is more important, and go down to that which is less in importance, to that which is importance, according to the needs of the people. Al-Muqawwim al-Khamis, the last qualification, the Shaykh he mentioned, al-Nashat of al-Da'wah, that to be energetic and active and teach. She know one hadith, she teach it to her sister. She know Alif Ba'ta, she teach to those sisters that don't know Alif Ba'ta. She knows the Tahara, how to make wudu according to the sunnah, she step to the plate and teach the sisters. And she knows how to make the salah, she teach the sisters. She know some Quran, or maybe juz, or 9 juz, or 20 juz, or the whole Quran, inshallah, she teach her sisters. And it should not be the main concern is food, when the sister get together, they just want to see, well, who the sister can cook better, or who the sister can sew better, or who the sister know a nice place where you can get a good deals, marketplaces, or she got know some connection to get like coupons or something like this. Yeah, alhamdulillah, if she knows how to cook, she gotta teach her sisters also. She know how to sew, she teach her sisters, inshallah. And likewise, she knows some places that you can get some stuff and some items. She tell her sister not to be greedy. And he said, وَلَقَدْ بَلَغَنَا وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ أَنَّ لِبَعْدِ النِّسَاءِ دَوْرًا كَبِيرًا فِي هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. And he said, and we were informed, والحمد لله, that some of the women, they have and they are playing a big role in this issue in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأنهن قد رتبن جلسات لبنات جنسهن في العلوم الشرعية والعلوم العربية. And that these are women, they have a program, nice program, alhamdulillah, and they are teaching their sisters. One of the main examples is أم عبد الله الوادعية, the daughter of Shaykh مقبل بن هاني. Now in the Masjid al-Fajr, I'm teaching a book, نصيحتي للنساء, my advice to women, very beneficial. I wish if some sister know Arabic and English, they can teach the sisters or something like that. This is a very beneficial book, نصيحتي للنساء, my advices to women, بأم عبد الله الوادعية, She's the daughter of Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i rahimahullah. And in the beginning of the book, Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala, he talks about the book and he praises the book and he talks about her. Mustafida, he said. He said she's well learned. She's well learned in many fields, in hadith, fiqh, Arabic, tafsir, subhanAllah. She made a lot of tahqiqat. She wrote books. She's a woman. Imam al-Dahabi, he has women that teachers. Imam al-Dahabi, if you don't know, if you look to his tarjama, one of his shuyukh were women. I forget their names. One of the shuyukh of Imam al-Dahabi were women. Aisha, she taught so many of the tabi'un, scholars of hadith, the like of Sa'id ibn Jubayr and others. Aisha radiallahu anha. So ikhwan, the women, they need to step at the plate and not think that they just for babies and just for food and for laundry and keep the place clean and neat. Yeah, alhamdulillah, in the best of your ability, but you don't neglect this. Because it is hard on us to teach women, because it bring a lot of fitna. Bring a lot of fitna. I don't want to teach no women like that. It's hard. Because of the voice and everything. Everything. We're not going to get into no details, right? We got some singles brothers in here. Tayyib. So, that it is better that the women took on that. So, Ummu Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya, alhamdulillah, women are benefiting from her tremendously in Yemen. Tremendously. She teaches them, alhamdulillah, kindness. She's kind with them and all that. Barakallahu fiha. وهذا لا شك أمر طيب تحمد المرأة عليه. And no doubt this is a great thing that the woman should be thanked about. وثوابه باق لها بعد موتها. And also she will be rewarded, the woman, if she do this, even when she died, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the authentic hadith, إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث. If the son of Adam died, all his deeds are cut off except from three: صدقة جارية, a charitable, something, a charity that remains, you know, an active charity, the like of building a school or a house for orphans or a road or whatever like that. أو علم ينتفع به, see, or a knowledge that is beneficial. So if you teach that sister something and this teacher teach and that sister teach and teach, you will get that reward, inshaAllah ta'ala. You stand in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah and you find all these mountains of good deeds. I didn't do that. Yes, indeed you did. When you taught that sister the hadith, or you taught that sister the Arabic, or you taught that sister that Quran, or you taught that sister the minhaj. The sisters, they need to know the minhaj. It's not just upon the brothers to refute the people of bid'ah, because Jibali has a wife. Or wives. The Sunni, the same thing. Huh? So we deal with the men, the sisters deal with the sisters. Alright? We're not saying that the sisters now, they're going to leave this room and go take care of these girls. No. Just refute them. I know probably there are some strong sisters that are like, yeah, I can do it. That's what you mean? No, that's not what I mean. What we mean is the da'wah. Huh? The da'wah, refute them. Because there is a certain, in Wilmington, Delaware, there is a guy, and he spread a lot of rumors, he's a takfiri, and his wife, she's more learned than him. And women, they benefited from her, but she's on that stuff too. So we want the sister to warn against her. طيب. So a knowledge that is beneficial, and the Prophet said, or a waladun salihin du'u lah, or a righteous son or a daughter that make dua for him. فإذا كانت المرأة ذات نشاط في مجتمعها في نسب الدعوة من خلال الزيارات أو من خلال المجتمعات في المدارس أو غيرها كان لها أثر كبير ودور واسع في إصلاح المجتمع. So if the woman, she was active in her society, in spreading and disseminating the da'wah through visiting her sisters, or through the gatherings, or through in a school or something like that, so she will have a great impact
in rectifying the society. And then the Shaykh said that's what he has to say today in pertaining to the role of the woman in rectifying the mujtama and mentioning the qualification of that which the woman should have. He said, هَذَا وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَسْأَلَ يَجْعَلَنَا هُدَاتَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ وَصَالِحِينَ وَمُصْلَحِينَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who are guided and cause others to be guided, صالحين, righteous in ourselves, and cause our others to be righteous. وَأَنْ يَهَبَنَا مِنْهُ رَحْمَتَهُ إِنَّهُ الْوَهَابِ. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us rahmah from Him. He is the one who grants the rahmah and the mercy. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وجزاكم الله خير. If the sisters have any questions, inshallah ta'ala, which is something that is amazing, being here for 2 days and we got only like 2-3 questions from the sisters. Boy, in Chile, man, it's like subhanAllah, be powered with questions. That shows, alhamdulillah, that the sisters, mashaAllah, probably they're not in need of a lot of questions of khula and talaa and divorce. That's a good thing. We'll be somewhere else, man. Now you'll be like 500 questions of khula and talaa. Even the topic be like, I don't know, man. Topic be zakat. Find 90% of the question khula and divorce. Now, if you come back.
You mentioned the rights of a Muslim on a Muslim. And according to the hadith, could you just go through them?
The rights of the Muslim? Yeah, the rights of the Muslim on a Muslim are. There is a narration that says 5, there is a narration that says 6. Yeah? And mainly the ones that the rights of the Muslim over a non-Muslim. إِذَا لَقِيَهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ فَلْيَرُدُّ السَّلَامِ. When he met him and he greet him, he has to reply the salam. وَإِذَا عَطَسَ وَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ فَلْيُشَمِّتْ. When he sneezes and say Alhamdulillah, he say to him, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. وَإِذَا دَعَاهُ فَلْيُجِبْ. When he present to him the invitation, he has to accept the invitation, but with certain conditions. We're not going to bring them. وَإِذَا مَاتَ يَتْبَعُ جَنَازَةَ. If he died, he follows his janazah. If he's sick, he go and visit him. That's 5, right? The 6th one, إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَهُ نَصَحَ لَهُ. And if he asks him for advice, he will give him those advices. That's the 6th, inshallah.
I thought smiling.
إِذَا لَقِيَهُ فَلْيَضْحَكْ. When he... That's probably the 7th one too. Sheikh bin Baz probably mentioned that, right? Well, the Prophet ﷺ, there's another hadith. He said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا حتى ولو تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق. Do not belittle any of the good, even if you meet your brother with a cheerful face. And also another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, والابتسامة في وجه الصبي صدقة. And smiling in the face of the boys, the little kids, is charity. SubhanAllah. Look at the rahmah of this deen, ya ikhwan. I don't know, send if there is any kids to come and get the questions or not.
Is it okay to ask out the subject?
Out of the subject?
Yeah. It's not.
Tafaddal.
If the person is praying behind the sutra and the sutra fell, what can he do?
Can fix it.
What, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, somebody is praying on the line and sometimes he comes late, but people come late.
Hey, this pertaining to the sutra. If somebody, the first question said, if somebody praying to a sutra and a sutra fail, if he knows that there are people going to cut in front of him, he can fix it, inshallah. But if there is nobody, he's the only one, nobody, inshallah. But if, for example, Sheikh Muqbil, he was asked this question. If somebody praying for no sutra, should we put a sutra in front of him? Yes. We take a sutra and put it in front of that person. Tayyib. So it's permissible. No.
The
way,
all the position of
the hands in the
du'a. Did you see me? No.
What du'a?
Did you say something about making du'a?
Ah, wiping over the du'a?
No.
Okay, hold on. Okay, we got the question of the sister. Could you please demonstrate the manner of making du'a? Huh?
That's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So they want to see it now. So,
see it, demonstrate it?
No. So I'll lift them down here. So
okay, you lift it, inshallah. Huh? But we want the brothers to look up here. Don't look up there, okay? It's not just, for me, inshallah. Hold on. The dua. Hold on, Shaykh. Hold on. Before you. Hold on, Abu Mujahid. First of all, making dua. This is a general. So the du'a after the salat, that's what we're talking about. The du'a after the salat, if the salat it is obligation, those five salat, there is no raising of the hands. And this need no demonstration. Right? If after the salat you pray fajr, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, there is no raising of the hands. You just say the du'a and that's it. This is the sunnah. But it is permissible to raise the hands after the nafila, after the sunnah. Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ used to raise his hands until this way. And sometimes he used to raise it like this. Tayyib, you want to do it? You want to... So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we mentioned that you cannot raise your hand. It is not from the sunnah to raise the hands after the prescribed salat. You just make the dhikr and that's it. You don't need for no raising the hands. That's from the sunnah. But after the nafilah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to raise his hands like this. Ayyib, like this. He makes the dua, oh Allah forgive my sins, oh Allah rectify my situation, make me righteous, make my husband righteous, my children, grant me a righteous husband if she's not married, or this and that, rectify this ummah, oh Allah grant victory to the sunnah and to da'wah salafiyah against the people of bid'ah, all this kind of type of good dua. She don't do this. That's a bid'ah. She don't. Just from here she go back. Huh? And all sometimes the Prophet used to go like this. They said until his armpit are shown. They used to raise. And this the Prophet used to do this in the times of calamities. Really one of the times when the Prophet really wants to make a dua. He's really sincere. He really wants some answers. When there is some calamities, the Prophet instead to do this, he used to raise the hands like this. So if you see somebody in the masjid doing it, after the nafila, after the sunnah, you don't say he's a mubtadi'. It's okay. But it's not permissible after the salah. Let me add something. For salat al-istisqa, when in a drought, which is we don't do it over here, but just in case something that you know. When I was in Medina sitting with the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad in his class, rahimahullah ta'ala wa hafidah, they asked him, because raising in the hadith, raising the hands, they said, you got to raise your hands upside down. How you can do that? The Shaykh said, you do it like this. You see it, all the brothers and sisters? You use like this. This is only in the istisqa. When there is no rain,
And the ruler, not just some group of people, the ruler choose to go, and then they call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they flip their thawb and their things, and then they make dua like this, inshaAllah ta'ala. طَيِّرْ هَذَا مَا هُوَ inshaAllah. But don't wipe on your face. The only way you wipe on the face is in the time on before you go to bed. See, when you before you go to bed, the Prophet ﷺ used to recite the three quls, قُلْ وَاللَّهَ أَحَدْ قُلْ عَدُ الْفَلَقْ قُلْ عَدُ الْنَاسِ, and he used to speak lightly on his hands, and then the Prophet ﷺ used to wipe over his body, not just the face. So we should not take that arakan test and now use it at any time. طيب, it's a bid'ah. One of the ways you know the people of bid'ah is when they make the dua after the salah, they raise their hand, that's one bid'ah. They combine another bid'ah, which is wiping the face of the other. Could you please mention point 5, which came after point 4? Of course. Not going to come after point 7. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm not sarcastic, mashallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructed the Bedouin in what the masajid were built for. Hey, now, that's a very good question, alhamdulillah, because it relates to the importance of the masajid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, verily that this masajid are not built for these kind of things. Not just for the Europe, for any kind of evil. Rather, they were built for the Salah, to establish the Salah, and to recite the Quran, and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah reward the sister that asked these questions. I mean the good. What do you recommend a sister to do if she is married, has children from another marriage, and the father of those children refuses to take care for the children financially, what she should do? This is a question, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, that many of the brothers that are not taking care of their obligations, and when they divorce the women, most of the time that divorce is not just. They just merely divorce for no reasons, for silly reasons. And then they left the sisters hanging. I said, they're your kids. So now the sister, she stuck with 2, 3, I know some sisters stuck with 7, 8, 9 kids. And from different men, and none of the men is taking care of his responsibility. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And now the woman, what she's gonna do? We need to first, as Sheikh Fawzi al-Athari, hafidhahullah ta'ala, answer this question. We need to advise that brother with the sunnah, with his obligation. And then if he could not, we need to step to the plate and help the sister, inshaAllah ta'ala. MashaAllah. And هل يجوز لنا أن نستعمل أشرطة فيديو للأطفال الرسوم متحركة باللغة العربية والتي لا تحتوي على أي شرك لهدف التربية وتعليم اللغة العربية جزاكم الله خيرا. Okay, we got a sister that knows some Arabic, alhamdulillah. Aha, the sister, she gave up herself. And she got the excuse, I'm not from here. Well, if you're not from here, you may be from wherever you may be. So now, you just show to us that you got some skills, inshallah ta'ala, and you need to teach your sisters. And also, if the sisters laugh, try to restrain, inshallah ta'ala, the laugh, because we can hear you, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu fikunna, jazakum Allah khairan. So it is permissible to women to use the videotapes, cartoons especially, she said, for her kids to teach them Arabic, and especially that these videotapes, they don't contain no shirk. She only wants to teach them the Arabic language, and may Allah reward you good. May Allah reward you good also. Ameen. Shaykh Al-Fawzan, Salih Al-Fawzan, رحمه الله تعالى, said it is not permissible to use cartoon, because it is worse than pictures. Because cartoons are moving pictures. There is a fatwa, rather, by the Shaykh Muhammad Salih Al-Utaymeen. That's why you need to understand the question, the difference between an answer and a fatwa. Answer is general answer to a question. A fatwa is an answer that is applies under certain circumstances. A fatwa may be applicable on a family, but it may not be applicable on another family. Even they may have, they think they have the same issue. So the Shaykh Muhammad Salih Al-Uthaymeen, in one of his fatwa, a woman said to him, listen, I live in an environment that is, maybe like we say, is the ghetto, or is like the project, or whatever, that there is no way for her children to go out and play in the street. There's no way. If they go there, she's going to lose them. She said, but in the same time, she don't have time to just sit with them, because the kids sometimes they can really, really, keep a woman busy, you know, because we men, we just go and chill outside, you know. No, it's not really, you know, we don't chill, you know, but that's what we do sometimes, you know. We go to work, and then after work, we go to masjid, and after the masjid, we talk a little bit, and, but the woman, she's stuck with the kids, Get over here. Sit over there. She gotta feed them. She gotta change them. She gotta clean them. She gotta teach them. She gotta ask them millions and zillions of questions every day. And I know that when my wife is not home and I have to babysit the kids, I be like, man, I love my wife for that. Allah, he make me think about her and say, subhanAllah, I can't even stay like 2-3 hours with her. And she didn't go to church. She came like for a doctor appointment or something, man. She didn't go like a park. She went fishing like we do, something like this. But I just like when she came back and said, mashallah, may Allah grant you the Jannah for your efforts. That's what I said to her. So, but Sheikh, this woman, she asked the Sheikh, she said, since it is the case, since I cannot watch them all the time because I have obligations, and we do, women do have obligations, she said, can I play for them the cartoon, like Islamic cartoons and that? The Sheikh, he won against the cartoons and stuff, but he said, since your case is like this, he weighed the evils, the two evils, like the Prophet ﷺ did with the urination and this. And he said, in your case, it's okay. It is better to send them in the street to learn what? You know what they learn in the street. Not directions. Tayyib. So now we tell that sister that it's better, especially if she knows some Arabic, she teach them Arabic. Because those cartoons, even they are in Arabic, they contain shirk. They contain, where is Allah is everywhere. Where is Allah is in the hearts of the believers. Contains statements that are Sufis. Contains ahadith that are weak. Because most of those thieves, they are like, they business. They just want to make money. They don't care and check about if he's authentic, if they're really, they bring some stories, they may be fabricated. So it's very important, inshallah ta'ala, not to do so, inshallah, unless if extreme need. So therefore, the women should need to get a fatwa from the people of knowledge. What about sending kids to Islamic school is not on the da'wah or school of the kuffar, which is worse, if the woman has not set up homeschooling? It's another question, another dilemma. That's why it shows that we are not serious enough, ya akhwan, about this da'wah. We find communities, they've been in a da'wah and Muslims for years, they still don't even have school for kids. That's a shame on us. That shows that we have to be more concerned about this. But if the sister, no doubt that sending the kids to the kuffar, that's not permissible. It's not permissible. We say it, school of the kuffar. What are they going to learn? Islam? They're going to learn kuffar. They're going to learn all kind of stuff, bad things. And you know better than me, I'm a rookie in these states. You know better than me what's going on in those schools, probably some of you, or most of you, if I should say, been through that system. And you know the evil that carries with it. And you certainly don't want it for your children. Because you're going to lose them. And they're going to be a weapon against you. So therefore, you're going to be patient. If somebody, do you have, if you have in whatever you may be, do you have a program for homeschooling? It's good. In Pennsylvania, not all over Pennsylvania, but around Chester area, Pennsylvania. There is that program homeschooling K-12. K-12. You may go to www.k12.com. K like K. K-locks, complex, whatever. K. K12.com. And you may see if it's over. It's in so many states. And I think now they upgraded it to the 7th or the 9th grade. They send a computer, brand new computer. What's the other one? The copier printer. They send, if somebody wants a DSL, they pay for the DSL. So, and they send a program in the computer. It's right there, the classes. And they send all what you need, books, notebooks, erasers, dozens, pencils, dozens, pens, dozens. So you don't spend, and it's free. Yeah? If you have 5 kids, you got 5 computers. You need to move 5 bedrooms apartment now. You know? So, mashallah. And if they have that ability and that program is here, it's hard on the women and the mothers, but that's better than she send them to the kuffar. As for sending them to a school of the people of al-bid'ah, this is not advised also to do so. Because the bid'ah is more harm on the child than the kuffar. If you teach your son, say, listen, you're a Muslim, you're not a Christian, he knows they're not going to make him a Christian, inshallah. But the mubtadi'ah, they're going to say, yeah, we're all brothers, we're all Muslims. They're not telling him that they are kuffar. And then they're going to teach him all kind of bad stuff, wal-iyadu billah. So try to go for the homeschooling, inshallah ta'ala, because I know here, if you don't send them to school, you may get in trouble, wal-iyadu billah. So try to do homeschooling, that is better, inshallah ta'ala. And then if there is no homeschooling, fear Allah in the best of your ability, inshallah. هذا والله أعلى وأعلم صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا